Come on, Norster Kenius. Did you want to come join our cult?
Oh, wow, that was definitely geeked out.
My lord!
Let's look into our crystal balls.
Our crystal balls?
Our crystal balls.
Boom, wink.
The Finnish conspiracy.
Some guy was going on and on about Corsi this, Corsi that. And
of course he was.
Yeah.
I was on a postage stamp.
Make it rain salty licorice.
Make our own grapefruit video.
That sounds like my liver trying to escape out my anus.
It's a love affair.
Welcome to episode 136 of Three in the Box, your Underground Wild podcast. This episode is being recorded Monday, July 3rd. This is Aaron. In this episode, we talk about expanding, drafting, and free agency-ing. In the studio with me is Kenny.
What up?
And as always, Mr. Jive Midnight.
Yo.
So it's been a couple weeks or something?
Right before Vegas.
Yeah.
Not us going to Vegas, no. But the NHL going to Vegas.
We were stuck here like schmucks, but honestly, no one wants to be in Vegas. Like,
especially not right now.
In this time of year, no.
June, no. No, thank you. Well, I heard it was awfully hot.
Really?
Yeah. Go figure. Desert in the summertime?
Yeah. Huh. Shocker.
Cools off at night.
To a balmy like 95.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like you're going outside ever when you're in Las Vegas, you know. Breathing natural air. They just pump in, like, oxygen.
It's like you're on Mars or something.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You know?
It's Vegas.
Last couple weeks, we had the second annual Three in the Barbecue.
Oh, yeah.
That was quite a fun time.
Definitely.
Got some street hockey in.
Saw some great faces.
With Mr. Derek Felska doing play-by-play during the game.
Yes. Yep.
I don't even know if I'd call it a game. It was just...
It was a bunch of old dudes shooting a ball around.
Getting tired.
With kids.
being out hustled by kids.
Pretty much.
It's just like the NHL.
Yes. Except for we're no Yagers.
No. Oh, well, except for the gray balls. Yeah, I mean, other than that, we got a lot of news. I mean, there's
a lot
of things going on. So I don't know. I think we'll just get right into this.
Just jump into
the meat.
All right.
So speaking of Vegas, we lost Eric Halla, and I'm blanking on his name. Took.
Justin.
No. Jerome. Jeremy.
Bob.
Alex Took.
Thank you.
Alex, there you go.
There's a little bit of a back-end deal going on, I think, to kind of help the Wild not lose a blue liner in that deal.
Yeah.
You know, so basically, Halla was their pick, and with that, the Wild gave up Alex Took for a third round in 17 or 18 draft for Took. Which I was that our third round this year? One of our third rounds?
Took?
Our draft pick was.
Took was a first rounder.
No. Our draft pick that we got from Vegas.
No.
So we must have it next year then for 18.
Right. Yeah, because we had no third rounders this year. Or we did have one third rounder.
We actually did. That's not.
I don't think that was ours, though. I think that was ours. I don't think.
That wasn't from Vegas.
Yeah.
So, hindsight being 2020, how wise of a decision was this for the Wild organization to lose, you know, a center, which we've always had issues holding on to, and, you know, a bigger body from Alex Took to keep the blue line intact?
Well, I mean, I think it definitely was an attempt to keep the blue line intact, but is that what we really wanted to do? I mean... I know last year they were talking about how it was all, we have this depth of D, and now we're still trying to protect D. And I know the one thing as fans we always complain about is needing a big forward, someone who can out-muscle people, and aren't we kind of giving that up with Took?
Possibly.
That's my thought, at least.
But also, you know, they have had a chance to look at Tuck and see how he's playing, And, you know, maybe they don't feel that his style, though, is going to fit in with the Wilds game scheme, too. So, you know, in the end, if we're keeping on defensemen that are, you know, playing to our brand of hockey here, I think that we can go right ahead with that and, you know, but let a prospect go, you know.
All right.
You never know. Things pan out. Sometimes they don't. So,
well, I mean, part of that hindsight was the fact that we had lost, well, a couple of, at least one, blue liner since then.
Well, I think I mean,
hence the hindsight.
I think
we're right now.
I think the real question though is you're losing, you know, Holla, depending on where they put him, was going to be a third or fourth liner. Took is, bro, it's probably going to be about the same level, and they're basically trading those two guys in order to keep a second line defenseman.
Do you think Hall is going to have a first or second line spot with Vegas?
Depends what side of the coach he gets on down there. Holla definitely has the ability, I think, to, you know, play up on one of those lines. But, you know, we've also seen him, you know, kind of waffling between the second and third lines.
So basically,
and sometimes even fourth line minutes.
With the coach thing you're saying, hopefully Yo doesn't go to Vegas.
I don't think he'll be there. I think he's got his deal set up down in St. Louis now, right?
Well, nothing's set with coaches in the NHL.
Right, I mean,
true.
We've seen this time and time again.
Things can definitely change.
So after that, there's a Schrader got traded to Columbus for Dante Salaturo, who I've never heard of this kid. He's a 20-year-old. He's yet to see ice time in the NHL and only has 5 AHL games. Both of these guys are on the same size. They're not very big guys. I think they're like 5'6", 5'7", or 5'7", 5'8", and like right around 175 pounds each, give or take a few pounds. So I get that the Wild are, you know, trying to get some depth players, and, you know, Schrader isn't exactly putting up some stellar numbers.
I don't know. Every time that Schrader came in, you know, the limited time that he was given to play up with the Wild, the big Wild last year, I think that almost every game that he was in, he made an impact in.
13 points in 37 games. One for three.
For fourth line minutes? I mean,
yeah.
That's not too bad. Honestly, you got to figure they're probably getting about a third of the time as well when they're up here, those games.
So
maybe this is just a case of moving. You know, Schrader is more ready to contribute now, so move him to Columbus because they may have a need for that. Salaturo may need a little bit of seasoning, and we may not need that depth and forward right now. And maybe that's the thinking with Fletcher.
He is putting up decent numbers in the OHL right now. Some actually pretty solid numbers. I mean, but how is that going to help the Wild on the fourth line?
Well,
when or if he even makes it up to the NHL in the next season.
I think that if you look back to last season, though, there was a lot of times when, you know, we're healthy scratching guys up here that, you know, on pretty much any team would have, you know, third or fourth line, you know, they'd get third or fourth line play without being scratched.
Or we're scratching guys that on other teams would be playing in the AHL. And developing rather than, you know, there's nothing wrong with paying a guy, you know, $750,000, mm-hmm. who's a veteran guy who can fill in when you need him to fill in,
right.
And have him sit on as a healthy scratch most of the time.
Yeah,
there's nothing wrong with that. That, you know, the Kanapka sort of brand of player where if you get or Prosser would be another good example where you're not paying him much. You want him to produce when he can play or when you have a need for him to play, but you don't have, you know, you don't feel like you're burning up his ability to develop.
Yeah.
You know.
But I think that last year, though, there was enough depth as far as forwards, at least with those, you know, third and fourth lines, that I think we can afford to move somebody like Schrader so he can go somewhere. And exactly as you were saying, Aaron, like, you know, he is pretty much ready to play, you know, full-time NHL minutes, if you ask me my opinion on it. And, you know, sending him somewhere like that, maybe he'll actually get that chance to play those minutes. And, yeah, we can send a younger guy down to actually develop in the AHL.
All right. The other move that we had in the last couple of weeks, besides all of our acquisitions.
These are all pre-draft. These are all
pre-draft.
Pre-draft moves.
Graevac to Washington for a 2018 fifth rounder. So the Wild get a fifth round pick in 2018. The Caps get a player that only has a $625,000 hit on a salary-strapped roster, and they also get to protect Lars Eller because of it with the draft. This deal seems very one-sided to me. What dope was GMCF smoking when he made this deal?
I don't know. I don't know that I'd see that as a horrible deal. Graevac has definitely shown that, you know, sometimes he can be good, sometimes he's not. I understand that he's, you know, still a younger player and is still developing, but I think that, you know, as far as his potential, he's probably never going to be better than, you know, like a third line guy.
Right. I mean, you look at his AHL numbers, they're not stellar numbers.
Yeah.
His NHL numbers, you know, 9 goals in 57 games, something like that.
Yeah.
Or 59 games, something like that. It's not very good.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that I would really expect. I mean, he's 24 years old. He's not a baby anymore.
No.
It's basically, he's going to need to move on. If we can get anything of value for him, I think a draft pick is better than losing him. And especially if the Wild weren't really intending on playing him this year,
yeah.
I, you know, and honestly, you know, you move a guy to the Caps, and now you've got another potential trading partner in the future because you've already kind of greased those skids. So who knows? Maybe he was trying to set up something else, and, you know, wheel and deal mode. Maybe that was like an icebreaker kind of deal, and he was hoping, sure, for a little bit more going into the draft. You know, who knows?
All right, the last thing, pre-draft.
Truly pre-draft. Or
pre-draft, yeah.
It was
right before, I think, the Vegas draft.
Yeah, yeah.
Adidas unveils not just the new Wild jerseys, but league-wide. But specifically, we're talking about the Wild jerseys.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
Well, the road jersey basically looks the same.
Not much changed with it.
Yeah. The home jersey basically looks like a knockoff of the outdoor game jerseys, the Stadium Series ones, kind of a knockoff of that. I am not a huge fan of it. I think it looks generic and boring.
I think anybody that said our previous jerseys look like Christmas puked up a hockey sweater, I think this one's 10 times as worse. I see more Christmas with this jersey than I have any of the other previous red or greens that the Wild have had.
I just think it's backsliding into that, the old design language. And I really like the, you know, as a fan of the slanted Minnesota jersey, you know, the green jerseys, it's a bummer that
that's what they went to.
That we went to this really generic looking. And honestly, all the league's jerseys look kind of the same. Like, they were cookie cutter jerseys. No one's look great.
Right.
You know, and I think that's what, there's no uniqueness. It's all the same. And it's a total bummer.
And I think that, honestly, like the Wild logo as it is kind of a little bit busier logo.
Yeah.
And to put it on something plain Jane kind of like that, it turns me off.
You know what all the new NHL jerseys look like? They look like those kind of like those half rate knockoff jerseys you might buy at like Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like similar ish to the actual jersey, but right. not right. Not
quite right. Yeah.
But you pay them, you buy like buy them for like $20, and so right. you're like, hey, I got a jersey. You know.
Yeah.
That's what those jerseys, the new Adidas jerseys, look like.
These ones aren't going to be $20. So.
Yeah. No.
No.
But they look like knockoff Walmart jerseys.
Yeah.
All right.
Shall we get on?
Let's move it on. Draft day.
All right.
So, obviously, the Wild missed out on the first couple rounds because of dealing some picks for Hanzel and White during the middle of the season right before the deadline. So, we didn't get a pick until the third round. Still got six picks, though. Doubled up in the fourth and the sixth. I'll quickly go through the players. I'm not going to get too detailed, but third round, 85th overall was Ivan Lodnia, American. He's actually father played professionally in the Ukraine. Smaller guy, quick hands, got some speed. Fourth round, Mason Shaw, 97th overall, Canadian. Another small playmaker, but he likens his play to Brad Marchand, which I thought was curious. I don't know if I would pick that as my idol, but mm-hmm. you know, I think Marchand's also one of those guys where it's like, you know, if he's on your team, you might be all right with him. You probably hate to play against him. So if he brings that to his game, good for him. I'll look forward to seeing that. Fourth round also was 116th overall, Bryce Mizley from Canada, center. He actually is committed to the University of Vermont, so one of the rare Canadians going to play U.S. collegiate hockey. And he's hoping to play 2 years in Vermont, so we'll see how that goes. But he's a big kid, so hopefully that kind of works. He's, like, I think, pretty much the biggest kid that the Wild drafted this year. Fifth round, Jacob Golden, 147th overall Canadian defenseman. Average size, fast. He was originally committed to Harvard, but now he's playing in Canada. Sixth round, we got a Russian, Andrei Svetlakov, playing with Russia. Interesting point is that he's going to be teammates next season with Kirill Kaprizov, the Wild draft pick from a few years ago. Average size, two-way kind of player. And last pick, sixth round, 209th overall, Nick Sweeney, right winger from American. Played at Lakeville South, committed to UMD. Going to be with the Bulldogs next year, so we'll see how that goes. As far as the draft goes, though, so obviously things were a little bit abbreviated because we're missing those top two picks. But I think there are a few curiosities. First off, with the exception of Mizley, the Wild's draft was pretty small but skilled. Do we think that's the right tact for the Wild? I mean, is that going to fill our needs, or is that just draft whoever's the best on the board?
Yeah, and I don't think that they had, you know, a lot of options with, you know, a lot of the later round picks this year. You kind of do have to evaluate the guys that are on the board and take what you think can be the best, you know?
By the time some of these kids actually see NHL time, too, who knows who the Wild's going to be picking up. I mean, maybe they're going to start looking to trade for some bigger bodies to protect sure. some of these younger, more skilled players. I mean, look at...
But haven't we been saying that for a while now? I feel like we're always drafting small or trade away our big guys like Tuk, so...
I mean, you know, look at like Edmonton or Toronto with, you know, you get Austin Matthews in there or man, I'm just blanking on names today.
McJesus.
Yes, thank you. You know, where you can get, you know, at least a little bit of protection around them with some veteran guys.
Okay, my second question is, I think the pickup of Svetlakov is interesting, especially since he'll be playing with Kaprizov during this upcoming season. Do you guys think this is really just a play to help cement that Kaprizov will move to North America come next season? Or do we actually care about a average-sized two-way player from Russia that may have no interest in playing in North America?
He'll be here.
Kaprizov?
Yeah.
So you don't think this pick was a opportunity for the Wild to pacify their budding Russian star?
Well, I mean, there may be, you know, some team building going on over there, but I mean, you were asking if he'll be over here, and I'm going to say yes, eventually he will be here. So.
Yeah, I think Kaprizov will end up coming here at some point.
Okay. And then also kind of along that same line, so while that six picks, all but one of them were forwards. We had one defenseman. Again, is this just a matter of them drafting whoever's best, or are they really going with who we have defensively is going to be here for the next 6 years or something? Well, like
some
that.
Of those guys will be here for the next few years at least. Mm-hmm. And I mean, also you get down to that point and, you know, it's not necessarily, you're not completely going to be going after the position that you want and more kind of looking at skill, who's actually going to make it to the NHL at that point too, rather than, you know, just what position are they playing.
Yeah. And I mean,
you're getting pretty far down at that point. Cause I mean, what was our last, sixth round, or let's even start at fifth round, 147th. Out of 147 players, how many of those guys are actually going to make it to the NHL?
Yeah,
that's true. But, you know, I think that drafting forwards is good. We have had some success recently, I think, with some of our younger defense. So, you know, maybe they feel stacking the deck, you know, putting the odds in your favor, you know, strength in numbers when you're, you know, stacking on forwards. Something's got to give. Somebody's got to be good, right?
So. 1 out of 5, 20% chance that one of them will make it.
2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
All right.
So after the draft, we still have more, a lot of moving and shaking here this offseason.
More movements and shaking. Let's get into that.
All right.
Yeah, so the Wild continued on after the draft. They signed on Olofsson and Riley to both identical contracts, 2 years, almost $1.5 million. So, you know, that shores them up for the next couple of years. Do you think the Wild, you know, will be looking this year maybe to bring, you know, these two younger defensemen in, are they going to be expected to step up and play more NHL minutes?
Well, I think considering they're both one-way deals, I think you kind of have to. I mean, yes, there was some other, you know, things going on as far as our blue line core, but, you know, I don't know that there might not be a room for them all at the same time.
Yep.
So there's going to have to be a little bit of... they're going to be fighting probably for a spot, especially with some of the other moves that have happened.
Yep.
So it'll be interesting. I think they're both going to be in the mix just because of the one-way alone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they are on a one-way deal, but they still aren't that huge of a contract, looking at the numbers-wise and not a huge cap hit with those.
True.
With that salary. You know, and even if they get sent back down, there's, you know, they don't have any retention up in the big league against the salary cap either. So it'll be nice. Hopefully, you know, with 2 year contracts on both of them, hopefully, you know, they're Wild are willing to invest in them and, you know, hopefully, you know, get them to develop a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. So another movement, talking about defenseman here,
which I think is really the big move.
Yeah, I would probably say so.
The blockbuster.
Yep. Scandella, along with Mr. Pominville, packed their bags and they're headed towards Buffalo. Right. So
Palmer's going back to Buffalo.
He's going back to Buffalo. And for Scandella and Pominville, the Wild acquired Tyler Ennis and Marcus Foligno And so, you know, and they also got a pick in there too, right?
A third round.
Yeah, third round pick for next year.
Well, so that's at least two third round picks for 2018 that we have, right? We got the one from Vegas still.
Right, yeah.
And then if we still have ours...
Yeah.
I don't know if we've dealt ours away yet or not.
But that's the thing. You pick up these picks, you can also use those, you know.
For bartering.
Yeah, for bartering. So, not a bad deal. I mean, so what do you guys think? Are you guys going to miss Scandella?
I'll miss Scandy a little bit.
You know, I know I tweeted this out, but I was surprised that that Fletcher was able to move Pominville. I'm a little disappointed that it took Scandella to do it. Tyler Ennis and Foligno, they're fine enough players, but really what this is it's Ennis and Foligno and a draft pick for Scandella and a salary dump. And it's not even that much of a salary dump because considering how much Foligno and Ennis are making.
Right.
I think that's my biggest concern. The one nice thing is Pominville was stretched out there as far as number of years he had left.
And no movement.
Well, limited no movement at this point. So right. He could have, he obviously waived his no movement to Buffalo.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think he had 10 teams that he could protect himself from at this point this year.
Yeah.
Or it was either 10 teams or 20 teams. It was something like that. And obviously he's not going to have a problem moving to Buffalo because he's going to be treated well there.
Oh, yeah.
But
like royalty.
It was a bad contract or had turned into a bad contract, and you're gonna have to eat that some way, and they chose to eat it in the form of giving up Scandella for it, I think.
At least we've got a little bit bigger body with Foligno. You know, he's 6'3", 228, so he's not a small guy.
He's gonna be our fourth line guy, I mean,
you know,
which is fine. He's getting paid a little too high, I think, for what he's providing. But,
yeah,
you know, I'm and Ennis. He's I know a lot has been made about him being best buds with Spurgeon since they were little babies, basically.
Uh-huh.
You know, they're playing hopscotch together, and then and with their frosted tips and stuff like that. So
yeah, that picture was quite hilarious.
But he's an undersized guy, undersized forward, and I'm just thinking, we need more undersized forwards. I mean, I'm not enamored with this move. I understand that if you want to move Pominville, you're going to have to give something up. I'm just not wowed by it.
So you don't think that the Wild got a fair deal then?
I would have rather moved Scandella and had just saved cap space for him and just sucked up Pominville's salary. Because I don't think we actually saved a ton. We saved a little bit just because they're not combined, they're not making as much as Scandella and Pominville were.
Right.
I don't know. I'm just underwhelmed by it. Well, I guess we'll see. You know, because on the upside, Ennis has had good years in the past.
Mm-hmm.
He's been a 20 goal scorer at least twice in his career.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe he can recapture that. He's been battling injuries the last couple of years. Maybe he can figure that out. But he's a small guy. I worry about that. A small guy who's battled injuries, expecting him to come back.
And be solid.
And be solid. I mean, ask the Islanders how that worked with PMB a few years back.
Yeah, that. Well, PMB just was, he was not the same after concussion.
True. And I don't believe Ennis had concussion problems, but I worry about the fragility of a smaller guy. You know, and yeah.
Yeah, but then there's guys, though, who they hold their own, like Spurgeon, you know? I mean, do you worry about him and his size?
No.
You don't, really.
But he's also, not. The thing is we need guys that can get in front of the net and create a disturbance.
Right.
We can't have everyone playing the perimeter, especially on the forwards.
Especially on the power play.
And that's a problem we've struggled with.
Yep.
You know? Spurgeon isn't called on to be a guy in front of a net.
Wow.
He is on the other side, but it's a little bit of a different story. He's clearing out. You know, when you're playing defensive, it's a different gameplay style.
Yeah.
You know.
But he's also not taking injuries, you know. I mean, true. I know he's been out injured, but never for super extended period of time, really. So I think that he's, you know, he's an Iron Man for us. But other defensive pickups, so we also picked up Kyle Quincy from Columbus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was a RFA, UFA?
Picked up, yeah, free agent.
Yeah, I mean, depends on what year you want to think about him, because, I mean, I look at him.
When I heard Kyle Quincy, I immediately went to L.A.
Yeah, same here.
I didn't even realize that he had bounced around to Columbus and, I think, New Jersey.
Yeah, I mean, he's been with, you know, it's almost, I think, five teams, you know, Detroit, Colorado, Columbus, L.A., New Jersey. He's moved around a little bit, to say the least.
So that said, do you think that that's going to be a toxic pickup for us then? You know, somebody who's been bouncing around the league like that?
I don't think so. I mean, it's a small contract. It's only 1 year. Okay. So, you know, it's kind of a let's see how he goes. He is buddies with Stewie.
Yep.
And... You know, he does have some veteran play in him, and I think, you know, he will actually be a physical presence, too, especially in the blue line. Losing Scandella, I think, hurt the physical presence, that the Wild had on the blue line.
And I don't see Quincy Scandella as that physical anyways.
well, I mean, he'd have his moments, though.
Yeah, but he was more tall and lanky than, like, a big defender, you know?
True.
Yeah, fair enough. So just a few more things to wrap up here. A few of the other depth signings that occurred. Pat Cannone, they picked him. What was that? $6,500 or
$650,000.
That's what I'm looking for.
Words are hard.
They are. Yeah.
You're a big boy. Use your big boy words.
Ryan Murphy, a defenseman, picked him up for $7,000 a year, or for 2 years.
$700,000.
Jesus. I'm just going to stop saying numbers.
Everyone is $650,000 or $700,000.
Yeah.
It's pretty consistent there.
League minimums.
Yep.
Landon Ferrero, Cal O'Reilly, Alex Grant, Nicholas Svedberg, and Kyle Rau. What do you guys think about the pickup of Rau?
I mean, how well have Minnesota players worked out for us?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm home. I'm playing in front of my family. Let me just drop the ball.
It hasn't worked out that well. I mean, Parise has been about the best. I mean, Cullen did all right when he was here.
Oh, we got watch going on, too, right now.
But it hasn't normally been pretty good. I mean, it's Parise, and even Parise is not the Parise that was in New Jersey. It's a different Parise.
Right.
And everyone else is, like, way below. Ballard was doing all right before he got his brain bashed in.
Yep.
But, yeah.
we did lose a few players, too.
Yeah. And Felska in chat makes a good point that Rau is tiny. Unbelievably tiny.
Yeah.
Pretty sure he's shorter than all of us, and we're not
tall.
We're not tall people.
No.
Hey, speak for yourself. I'm a big man.
I'm not going to touch that one.
I think that's a show title right there.
Kemper and Follin both went to LA.
Yeah.
And Hansel was only a 1 year. He was a rental anyways, but he went down to, I think, Dallas.
Dallas,
yeah. Yep. Good riddance to all y'all.
I'm not missing that.
Follin is a little bit of a bummer, but we'll get to that one actually.
We got
that in Twitter talk, which I think is
coming up next. Right now. Here we go.
Yeah.
All righty. We got lots of Twitter talk going on here. Our first one is from Mr. Derek Felska at Crease and Assist. They're in the box. Did the moves Chicago and St. Louis made prior to or during the draft make them tougher to play against or easier?
Same.
I mean, the only move, and I don't know where this exactly
happened. I think Chicago's a little weaker just because of who they lost.
Well, they picked up Sharp again.
Yeah. And who else did they pick up? I'm totally blanking now, but...
I think
Chicago is actually worse off because they also lost. Didn't they lose Van Riemsdyk?
I think so.
You know, I'm not impressed with Chicago moves at all.
I'm actually more concerned, I think, with who Dallas has picked up. Because I know they picked up lost a goalie, but picked up another goalie. And there's a couple of forwards in there I thought that they had picked up that
They picked up Hansel. Well,
Hansel and...
He's not toxic at all.
No, not at all.
Speaking of toxic, yeah.
So.
Next question from Derek Felska. The Wild re-signed Gustav Olofsson to a 2-year deal but decided not to qualify Folan. Are you surprised by that? I personally am. But then again, I might be the only person in the Christian Folan fan club. I thought he had potential to be that. I hate to make the comparison, but kind of Clayton Stoner but with a brain, you know?
For Folan?
Yeah. You know, physical, but still smart enough not to, like, skate head first into the boards kind of guy.
Yeah, but I like some of his play, but I think that he definitely was probably peaking, you know, as far as, you know, where he was going to be anyways. So I didn't see a lot more upside to him, I guess. So I'm okay with, you know, trying something else out, you know, another big body back there. So,
and obviously, you know, at this point, it looks like the Wild were planning on bringing in more defensemen.
Yeah.
And you know, if you retain Riley and you're retaining Olofsson and you're, you know, signing Quincy.
Something's got to give.
Someone's got to go. Yeah. And Folan draws the short stick there, yeah. I think.
I think from what I had read that Folan wanted a one-way contract, and I think they were only willing to offer him a two-way, you know.
At this point, I'd say good on him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Next question coming in from Crease and Assist. Three in the box. Would you like to see any similar rule changes like this in the NHL?
And the rule he is referring to is... When you are on the penalty kill, you cannot ice the puck. And my quick answer is, why not? Just because we had it as a rule forever, I don't see why we need to keep it as a rule.
Well, you
committed a penalty. You should have to suffer the consequences.
Why should the rules change to kind of bend in your favor?
Right. So I'm going to say, yeah, you shouldn't be able to ice the puck.
Well,
I like that as a change.
That could... bring in more offense.
Exactly. Easy way.
Because you can't...
Well, it might actually clean up the game a little bit because you're going to think twice about doing these little
cheeky... Yeah, if you can't just get away with...
Yeah.
Yeah. Dumping it down. That's true.
Yeah.
The traditionalist in me says, no, leave it the way it is. But I'm hearing that. It's not a bad idea.
I mean, if you think about it, we're changing the rules just for the penalty, which does make a ton of sense when you think about
right.
it. Kenny, what do you think?
I think it would be interesting to see. At least, you know, try it out. I would like to see maybe a handful of games with it, with that set of rules, and see how it plays out. See if the off, like, it, if it keeps the power play game up a little bit more.
And, I mean, really, if you are on the penalty kill, you're still free to, you know, ice the puck down if you need to. But just know that you're going to get a whistle. And with the way the rules are now, you can't change your players. So you're going to have some guys out there, like, very winded.
Right.
Trying to kill a penalty. I definitely think it would give more opportunity for more offense, which isn't necessarily a bad thing if they're looking to, you know, draw in some additional fan base, you know.
All right.
Pretty soon we'll be shooting baskets like basketball. And
hey, I still think basketball would be more interesting if somebody got a foul and they had to sit out for 2 minutes.
That would be awesome.
Or, you know, it's basketball, maybe 30 seconds.
That means there's going to be more diving, but I don't want to get into the basketball discussion.
Three in the basket.
Three biscuits in the basket?
I don't know.
Let's pretend that podcast is never going to happen.
Next question coming from Steve Secor, SJ Secor. Beyond the feel-good story, do you think Colin is a good fit for the Minnesota Wild? No.
No. He's old, and I would not want him taking up a roster spot for what he's...
For what he's going to ask for. Yeah, and we don't have the... We don't want to waste our space.
Again, it's
yeah.
another Minnesota guy coming home, and he's 40... What's he going to bring?
Let's put it this way. Cullen is not Jagr.
No.
You know?
But say that he expresses interest in wanting to finish out his career in Minnesota, and he's willing to take it for, you know, say, a, you know, just a minimal contract.
Okay.
This actually bleeds into, before we get too far, right. into Ty Sands 42's question. A lot of talk about Colin coming back to the Wild, but does he really help the team at 40 years old?
So I've got an alternate thing. Let's say, hypothetically, Bruce Boudreau says, I'm done. I quit tomorrow. What if we brought in Cullen to be the Reggie Dunlop skater coach? Would you be okay with that?
As long as he said, your wife's a dyke. On the ice.
She sucks pussy?
She sucks pussy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be mad at that, I guess. But
bring it old school, you know?
Right. But let's keep Boudreau around for, yeah. I think he's got one more year here.
I don't think he's going anywhere. Yep. I don't think he's going anywhere. Yep. All right, next question from Tom Hain, 88. Do you think the recent moves were simply cosmetic, or did the Wild become a better team because of them?
I wouldn't go cosmetic.
It's all yet to be seen. I mean, until we see these guys play together too, we aren't going to know how the chemistry is actually going to work between them. I think that a lot of the moves, you know, we're making way so we can make more moves, basically, honestly.
My first thought when seeing the question was, well, none of our moves were sexy. You know,
no.
You're not excited about really any of those signings or trades.
I think without, you know, Knuts or...
It wasn't the Parisi Suter announcement of July 4th.
Yeah, there's no TJ Oshie coming to our team.
Right.
That being said, the Wild obviously had to make moves because we're going to have cap concerns. You're going to have the expansion draft, so we're going to be losing someone there.
Mm-hmm.
So we were going to lose someone of value. We just knew that.
Yeah.
And so I think at best we may have treaded water. At worst, we may have sank back a little bit, but that's because of our money constrictions that we had.
Yeah. I think what we've hung on to, though, I mean, really, when you think about it, that we're still able to have Granlund, hopefully.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, assuming we sign him, that's right.
And Nino.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, I'm assuming that, like, they're going to be...
We're going to get a deal done.
Yeah, we're going to get it done with them.
Right.
We've made room. We can hand them a decent deal, right? And then, I mean, we still got some, you know, already veteran experience up top. And then there's plenty of room for, you know, any of these young guys that want to step up and step in to, you know, make a play. And also we've peppered in a couple of... Couple more third, fourth liners that, you know, have played the NHL minutes. And, you know, so I think that I would say treading water is a good way to put it.
If we're lucky, that's what we've done.
Yeah. And last year, I mean, it was kind of almost, I don't know, you don't call it the perfect storm, but I mean, we had, like, the way that everything kind of came together right there, that was a beautiful thing. It's unfortunate that we had the earlier playoff exit, but I think overall the season for the team was, that was pretty exceptional, actually.
Next question.
So, oh, that's on me. So Tihan also is asking us, would it behoove the Minnesota Wild to make a splash? Maybe to move dealing 25 or 64? And they are they fine going into a season, the season as is?
Control plus will make your screen bigger.
Yeah.
So to answer the question,
no,
do we want to deal 25 or 64? I mean, I'm going to be the Granlund nerd and go, no, don't deal Granlund. Brodin, I think, is overvalued or overpriced for the value he provides. But I know I might be in the minority there. So I think that while they're going to have to be fine going the season as is, because unless they're planning another a blockbuster trading Brodin for someone else, I mean, I don't know where you really... what you're trying to fix.
Yeah, you would need somebody exceptional, at least to replace Granny, even though he's good at times, and he's not, any rock star by any means, but you couldn't just replace him to replace him.
I could be okay with a Brodin move, though.
I mean, I can get behind that, but, Granny was, our first or second scorer last year?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think we can replace that unless you're, I mean.
You got to be bringing in somebody.
You have to be bringing in someone a lot better or packaging with someone else. I just don't know how you make turn that into something more. So.
All right.
Okay. TSans42 also asks us, what makes Three in the Box such a good podcast in your own views? Can't get through more than 10 minutes of others. I've tried. Thanks, guys.
You're welcome.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you,
much,
Ty.
Much appreciated, Ty.
Because we... because, well, I'll give you three answers. One.
Aaron. Two. Kenny. Three. Jive.
That's not what I was going to go with, but okay. Well, so that'll actually be one, is the three personalities here. We've known each other for a very long time. We talk very openly. We can chit-chat about whatever. And we
bash each other.
And I'll say, we don't usually get too far off topic, normally speaking.
Well, when we do, it's like complete derailment, and we're talking about, like, grapefruit.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, yeah.
I was going to play the sample, but you got
Aaron,
it.
Aaron's been pretty good at that.
Yes, he is.
Second one is the fact that our audio quality is actually pretty solid, I think. Apparently YouTube isn't getting the audio quality, but that's YouTube, so sorry, people on YouTube. And then the third thing is I'm going to go back to the fact that we do stay on topic, and we try to make it not more than an hour. You know, some podcasts out there will do, like, especially in a kind of informal chat like this, they'll go on like for 2 hours.
It can get to be a while.
It's like, I ain't got time for that.
Ain't
nobody got time for that.
going with that though, Aaron, I mean, we are pretty structured in our layout, and we know how many topics we're going to be talking about in the night to make that an hour podcast.
Yeah.
You know, and if it's too much, we will limit it a little bit. And, you know, we can kind of keep track to make sure that we're not rambling on too long about any particular
thing. But now we're rambling on too long about this.
Now we're rambling on about how good we are.
So, speaking of which, next question from Tom Hain, T-Hain88. When the Wild has a 9-point lead on the number one seed at the trade deadline, will Chuck Fletcher's phone be taken away until after the deadline? So basically, is Tom saying, do we not actually trade anyone at the deadline this year if we've got the same lead?
I don't think we'll be in that same position. But yes.
I he's going to have to think twice about it. And
yeah.
But I think if, looking back, I don't think anyone was super excited about Hansel. But it was like, well, we didn't really give up anything for him.
That's true.
It was a promise of a good player, maybe someday.
If we proceeded far enough into the playoffs, which we didn't do.
Right.
Now I forgot the other guy's name too.
Ryan White.
Yeah.
So and he's
not the one with AIDS.
Right. He's gone now too, though. Right.
Well, the one we had is still alive.
Right.
Yes. I think he might. Well, I don't know if he's.
I think he's a UFA, so.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think the Wild haven't done anything with him yet, and I don't know if he's moved anywhere yet.
I don't think he's. I haven't seen anything about him signing, but that's, I think, besides the point. I think Fletcher's going to have to be smart about trying to move anyone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they're always trying to improve a team, but, you know, trading around a first, trading away your first and second round picks for those two, it's. At this point, it looks kind of silly because nothing happened. You know, if the
well, let's see what those picks even turn out to be.
If the Wild win the Cup, then that's the smartest move ever.
Right?
You know, it's Monday morning quarterback.
Right. It's like going for it on fourth and one, and you either make it or you don't. Right. So, all right. Next question comes in from T. Hain. He's been reading a lot of tweets from the Minnesota Wild fans. Lamenting the loss of the 6 and 29. So a third pairing D and third line forward, why the angst?
I know I don't want to belabor this, but I think my angst was because I don't think we got a big enough cost savings for giving up that. I think you would have rather shed a little more salary. Derek Falska and Chad brings up a good point that, you know, you're bringing on Ennis, but he's got a lower cap hit. So if you cut him, you're still not taking as big of a hit. Whereas with Palmers, you were going to. I think that's, at least for me, that's the biggest bummer. But he also had people that were like overjoyed about just getting rid of Pominville. So
yeah.
it's a two-way street, I think.
A lot of money for Pominville and.
His production has been dropping every year, so.
And I know people were high on Scandella. He did come back on, I think, later last season, but I think he still kind of struggled last season anyway. So I'm not mad to see either one of those guys go.
So that kind of goes right into Ty Sands' next question, though. Did the Wild trade the right defenseman to Buffalo? Would Buffalo have taken somebody else?
I'm guessing if the Wild wanted to trade Brodin, theoretically speaking, they would probably have asked for more in return, and Buffalo may have been unwilling to do that. I mean, that's how I read how the trade worked out.
Yeah,
it was probably the most we could get for what we had in return,
mm-hmm.
probably because no one else wanted to eat Pominville's contract.
Yep.
And Buffalo was okay eating it because they already knew Pominville, and he was already going to... It was going to probably bring a lot of goodwill in Buffalo. Yeah.
And they'll bring some ticket sales back in.
Exactly.
That, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Is Pominville from Buffalo area?
No.
He just played there?
I think he had a split residency. I think he split his time between Canada and New York State, maybe, if I remember right. I'm going off of memory, so my trivia brain may not be fully in gear there. Next question, crease and assist, Derek Falska. Will we ever see Gary Bettman on the ESPN body issue? And what would we see if he chose to participate? I've got my answer. Do either of you have answers?
Well, it's ESPN, so Gary Bettman probably doesn't even know what that network is. So I'm going to go with no, we will never see him on there.
What happened to the swimsuit issue? Oh, that's Sports Illustrated.
Right.
We'll probably see him on there.
So here's what my answer is. If he were ever to do it, if you've ever seen the Harry Potter movies, there's a character called Dobby, which is like a CGI, like kind of gremlin looking character.
Yes.
I run.
That's exactly what he's going to look like.
Cute.
Cute.
Next question comes in from T-Hayne88. Considering the Minnesota Wild has done less than nothing in the playoffs, why do we feel that the certain players on the roster are untouchable?
I think that's changing a little bit, but I thought that before. I know it definitely seemed more so that way when Yo was coaching.
Yeah.
That even when he was going like on his downward spiral, it seemed like there were certain players that no matter how bad they played, they still got top minutes.
And was that Yo or was that, you know, what he was being told to do too?
I'm going to go with Yo because that changed once he was out. And
well, and let's be honest, some of the players are untouchable because of the contracts they've been given.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think anyone who is, you know, younger than Parisi or Suter, they probably realize that they're not, you know, untouchable.
Mm-hmm.
Parisi and Suter, I'm pretty sure, realize that they're untouchable. Yeah. And that's the way
we'll
it's going to
be. We'll see you guys next fall.
Right.
All right. Next one.
Ah, from Ty Sands. Will Ennis benefit from the trade, and do you see him scoring more than 20 goals and or 50 points in his first season with the Wild?
I think that, I don't know, I think that's kind of unlikely only because I don't know where he slots in depth chart-wise. I think he's probably going to end up being, you know, third line, maybe second line, depending on the way things shake out. I have a hard time imagining him score that much, but I've been wrong before. I'll be more than happy to be wrong now, but I'm having trouble seeing that. I'm worried about his size. So,
size and injury. I mean, like we had kind of talked about, if he's not 100% or if he's getting hurt as easy.
But then again, the style of play that we've been playing around here, though, is not so much the physical game. So
that's true.
You know, maybe that'll bode well for him.
All right. Next question, Ty Sands. The Wild have added enough toughness. Have the Wild added enough toughness with the addition of Foligno?
It's one guy. I think we need to have at least a couple to kind of spread that around if we're going to go that route. However, like we were just talking about, that hasn't been the Wild style of play. So do you really want to kind of mix up what you're doing just to add some, you know, some bodies in there?
Well, and I think Quincy has a little bit of grit as well.
I think Quincy will definitely add that on the blue line for
right,
sure.
Right.
All right.
Where are we at? Is that it?
We're at about an hour here. Should we wrap her up?
Yeah. Is that it? That's it for our questions.
Yeah. All right then. So I guess with that, that's Twitter talk. Kenny, where can people find what you're up to?
Nostra Kennius. On Twitter, Facebook, not Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Although, I mean, you're fine just with the Twitter thing because all the stuff from Instagram goes there anyways. But, yeah, that's where you can find me.
Follow you on Twitter.
Yeah, follow me on Twitter. That's your best option. You'll get to see all my complaints in the summertime about musicians and concerts.
Just what I want to hear about.
Yeah.
And Jive, where can people find what you're up to?
If you really care to find out what I'm up to, you can follow me. I'm on Twitter. I'm at Jive Midnight.
As for myself, you can find me on Twitter at Angry Finn. Thanks, everyone, for listening to the show. Follow us on Twitter at 3 in the box. I know we're kind of going to the off-season doldrums here, so I know we'll be a little sparse, but, you know, as moves happen, and they will happen.
Probably in a new studio next time.
Yeah, we'll be in this will probably be our last show in the studio, so we'll be moving. And, if in the meantime, go to 3inthebox.com. We'll be having some news here in the off season. We got some things in the works here that will hopefully be rolling out here in the next month or two as time permits. And, check us out. Download our podcast. Go to iTunes if you're watching through our site or another thing. Or go to Google Play Podcast. Rate our stuff because that's how people find us. So give us a good... Give us a good rating if you like us. If you don't, well, you can screw off, I guess. So, I don't know how you made it to the end of the show if you don't like the show. So
yeah.
At that point, it doesn't really matter what you said about him.
Yeah, so I guess that's it.
Cool. All right.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Holla!